That was the true light which enlightens every man that comes into this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, everything these past few days was a manifestation of the passage from death to life, from sin to grace, from darkness into light, for us as for Christ, of course. Easter has always been considered in the West as in the East the most important feast of the liturgical calendar, as Christmas only prepares us for the Easter celebration. Great joy in heaven and on earth on that glorious day. Venite exultemus et jubilemus. Come and let us rejoice. Let us praise the Lord. Every other Sunday is but an echo of the Easter Sunday. On Christmas, the light came into the world and was made manifest to all, resplendent. But shortly thereafter, it remained hidden for many years. Advent prepared us, but with these mixed feelings, mixed sentiments, sentiments of joy and consolation, mixed with sentiments of fear and sorrow. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Later, after the Christmas season, the dominant theme, as expressed in the liturgy during Septuagesima and Lent, is that of a combat, a war waged against the enemies of light. And this war is waged on two fronts. From outside, as we have seen the evil plot slowly unfolding against the Son of Man, dividing Jews and Romans, and from within, with its clear expression found in the baptismal and penitential themes that punctuated the entire Lenten season, with their culmination in the Easter Vigil rituals that we had yesterday night. If you were here, you remember the reading of the 12 long prophecies recalling the history of humankind in its relation with God, the long prostration of the ministers, the singing of the litany as a public form of penance, asking for the intercession of the saints, and of course the consecration of the baptismal waters in the back of church by the baptismal font. With Easter now, the feast of all feasts, only one sentiment is left: joy. Everything speaks of that heavenly joy. Not only today, but exceptionally, the whole week is a celebration, with a proper Mass each day during the octave, each being a first-class feast day. Newly baptized, interesting fact, newly baptized back in the good old days, were required to wear their white vestment every day during the Easter octave. That white robe of innocence received on the Easter Vigil, which we ask to keep unstained to the judgment seat of God. Still today, in every baptism, when we impose this white robe to the baby or to the adult, what a beautiful public manifestation of the joy of the resurrection. Because again, Easter and baptism were always connected. Back in the days, it was even only during the Easter season or Pentecost that baptisms were celebrated. So what beautiful manifestation, this white robe of innocence, manifestation of the joy of the resurrection and the joy of being received in the church. For what? To have access to the eternal bliss promised. Go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't say anything else. The mystery of the resurrection, of course, is the focal point of today's celebration, the resurrection of Christ. But Christ, as always, as in any other mystery, unites us in a special way to his resurrection. Once again, through the reality of the baptism we have received. We have to be closely fitted into the pattern of his resurrection. as we have been into the pattern of his death, says St. Paul to the Romans. In the Easter Vigil, and today as well, the theme of a new birth offered to mankind is everywhere present. Remember the new fire outside, the new waters of baptism, the light entering in the dark church, the singing of the beautiful Exultet by the deacon yesterday with these powerful words, "For it would have profited us nothing to have been born unless redemption had also been bestowed upon us. Therefore, the hallowing of this night puts to flight all wickedness, cleanses sins, and restores innocence to the fallen, and gladness to the sorrowful." Again, Easter is primarily a baptismal celebration for us, in which then we recall the promises of our baptism, the promises that our godparents made for us on the day of our baptism. We recall the promises of our baptism and our configuration to Christ. We now belong to Him. Having been restored in grace, we can make ours these words of the apostles, "Vivit Deo." For in that He died to sin, He died once, but in that He lives unto God. So this should become our leitmotif, not "vivit" in the third person singular, but "vivo" now, making it our own, "vivo" first person. I live unto God. I live a life that looks towards God. My whole self tends to Him. All my faculties are directed towards Him. I have been configured to His passion and resurrection when receiving the salvific waters of baptism. And the little word here, configured, as in the letter to the Philippians, configuratus, is not of small importance. Him I would learn to know, and the virtue of His resurrection, and what it means to share His sufferings, molded into the pattern of His death, molded into the pattern of His death, in the hope of achieving resurrection from the dead. So the original meaning of this little word, configuratus, configured, is molded into a certain pattern. And we are united to this death. And because united to this death, we are also united to His resurrection. In our baptism, says St. Paul, we have been buried with Him, died, the old man in us died like Him. That so, just as Christ was raised up by His Father's power from the dead, we too might live and move in a new kind of existence. In His glorious resurrection, why did Christ desire to keep the visible wounds of His passion on His glorious body, the scars of His five wounds? He lives on still to make intercession on our behalf. Says the letter to the Hebrews, He presents to His Father His proper title as intercessor now. Reason why He kept these wounds visible before His apostles, before St. Thomas, to remind us of this connection, this intercessory role, because He has embraced our human nature with all its suffering and misery except sin. And He presents to us, with His wounded body and yet glorious, the necessity of suffering in order to purify in us the old leaven, to rid ourselves of the leaven which remains over, so that we might become a new mixture, as we just read in the epistle. And this image of the unleavened bread was extremely important in the mind of the Jews at the time of our Lord. We then become the azims, the unfermented cakes that were used in various sacrifices, particularly during the feast of the Passover. as commanded by the old law. And it was always in the mind of the Jews, and still Christians after that, a symbol of sincerity and truth. When you share that same bread, sincerity and truth, once again with Christ and through our baptism, we become a new oblation, a new offering, as the bread offered on the altar. Think of the significance of this gesture. When the priest lifts the paten, this little golden plate, with the host during the offertory, think of how profound is this gesture. He offers before the Eternal Father all the sacrifices, all the efforts, all sufferings and pain of the community of faithful. The priest receives from you, says St. Augustine, what he will offer on your behalf when you want to offer God reparation for your sins. Reparation for your sins. And so, my dear friends, may this Easter season be an opportunity to renew our baptismal promises. That is, to live according to the image and likeness of God, which constitutes our inner self. No other image. Image and likeness of God. And so may all our words, deeds, and thoughts be always more conformed with the beauty and goodness of the indwelling of God's charity in us through sanctifying grace. As we said on the day of our baptism, rejecting Satan, rejecting all his works and his pomps and allurements, thanking God, as the Apostle says, thanking God our Father for making us fit to share the light which the saints inherit, for rescuing us from the power of darkness. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.